wonderful. He knows my name. He knows your name. Even he is so great, so big, he knows you deeply. And we can call him Father. This is so amazing. One of the most powerful things in the life for me is can come close to God and call him my dad. My dad. Thank you. For those who are not here last week, we begin a series of 5 weeks on the Michel Day. We saw then that this term comes from Latin and can be translated as the mission of God or the sending of God. It's God doing mission. We saw that the mission of God is to glorify his own name in all the earth and among all people. We saw, too, that the scripture has all we need to know about God. It's all we need. And there is a term called sola scriptura. We saw too that we need to understand that the whole Bible talks about God's mission. The whole Bible. We cannot just choose parts of the Bible to do our own theology. The whole Bible. We have to use the whole Bible. This is calling another Latin word called toda scriptura. In Portuguese, come toda scriptura. And when we have this in mind, when we have that, then we need only the scripture to understand about God. When we understand that the whole Bible speaks about God and help us to understand his will, his mission, we can understand that God is a global God. It's not a God only for one tribe. It's not the only God from Israel. God, Israel was chosen because of us. Not because Israel was better than him. God, we discovered that God is a universal God. He is huge. And because of that, he has control of everything. The history is in his hand. He never sleeps. Everything that's happening in this universe is under God's control. We saw that the gospel is the good news of salvation that is found in the whole Bible, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament too. We saw that worship is the ultimate goal of the church, not mission. We talk about John Piper when he says that one day mission will not need it anymore because worship will be forever. But it will be one day that all redeemers will bow down and worship the Lord. And for that time, we don't need any more mission. So, mission is not the ultimate of the church. It's worship. It's worship. We saw that James chapter 1 tells us how God will lead his mission through his creation. We saw in Genesis 1:28 that God gave a mission to Adam and Eve. And Eve to take the blessing of the garden everywhere. I explained what was the blessing of the garden. Was the relationship. When God asked Adam and Eve to multiply, was not about only numbers, but multiply the kind of relationship they have with God. So close. God every day go to the garden and walk with them and talk with them. Close. So when God, in God's mind, was go multiply and multiply this kind of relationship so close with me. But you know the story. Something's happened. The man disobeyed God. And today we see that God continued his mission, showing grace and good news in the midst of the false narrative. Even there, God continued to be graceful. When you read chapter 1 and chapter 2 to 5 of Genesis, it seems at first sight that there are two different narratives, two things. Next slide, please. This is two different narratives. In this first part, if you look for the... Next, please. Okay. So, when you look for this first narrative in Genesis chapter 1 until Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, we have an introduction of the creation. In this first part of the narrative, we call the beginning. Then, we have the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and finally we have that we call seventh day, but in the Bible there is not this word. The Bible comes with a word called Shabbat. When you finish the story of the first account of creation, we begin a second narrative. But what's interesting here is the second narrative go in the chapter 2, in the sixth day. When you read, usually you go like this, in a linear, our mind go like this. So, sometimes we'd be confused. But almost all chapter 2 go inside the sixth day. Everything's happened there. It is there that we answer the question, how God creates the human being. Verse 4 to 27, chapter 2. I'll read it with you. This is the account of the heavens in the earth, when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. In this chapter, inside the sixth day, God gives the boundaries of the garden. We can find in verse 10 to 14. In verse 15, God tells the man what he should do. Verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of the Eden to work it and take care of it. We find here too in verse 16 and 17 part A that there is a test here. And the test was not eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Verse 16 and 17 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We find in this chapter 2 a specific curse to those who eat this fruit. Verse 17b, says, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The man received in verse 19-20 the ability to give names for the animals. Now the Lord had formed out the ground of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. Verse 20 to 22, God made the woman to complete Adam. Verse 20 to 22 says, but for Adam, no suitable help was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to man. When I was reading this verse, I really had a wonder. I start to imagine him. Because seems that God called Adam and said, give name for the animals. And in some way, it's like he need a partner. And maybe he was trying to find a partner. So I just started imagining, he saw a cow come. And he think, oh, I'll call you a cow. Hey, let's talk. Maybe you can be my helper. But she can say only, no conversation. Sometimes it's what you heard, but okay. No talk. Okay. So maybe he finds another animal. I forgot. What's the wife of the lion? Lioness? Okay, so the lioness. So maybe he looked at she and said, I will call you lioness. Lioness. In Portuguese, leoa. So it's easy for me. Leoa. And he was close to her and said, huh? Huh? What do you think? And she started to think, maybe it's not a good idea, because when she will be hungry, I will be on the plate. So no, it's not a good idea. So God had an idea, and made him sleep and take inside him, and from him made and she was wonderful. She was great because he was so happy that he became a poet. It's true. Look at the verse 23. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called human, for she was taken of. He was so impressed. We have the chapter 3 and chapter 4. We found then in these two chapters, we find the temper. We find the tact used to tempt them. We find the description of the fall, how this happened. We find God's applying the curse on men. But we'll find too, one thing that is wonderful is that we can find grace and good news in this narrative. In the middle of the narrative of the fall, we saw God coming after the man and try to talk to him. Usually we heard that there is one passage in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that call, I think in English, is proto-gospel. is I know it, Proto-Evangelium. It's where you can find the first time the gospel. It's in John, it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So I just translate Proto-Evangelium in Portuguese, Proto. For English, Proto-Gospel. Okay? And I don't believe that the gospel was there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I believe the gospel came first. Do you know when? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Read with me. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the tree of the garden. But the Lord God called to man, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" I believe the gospel began when God went to the garden and asked to the man, "Where are you?" It's God seeking man. It's God go after the man to have a relationship. This is what? This is the gospel. It is as God were saying, "Where are you, Adam? We should be here. Walk with me. You should be here. Talk to me. You should be here. Have a very close relationship with me. Where are you?" Of course, God knew where Adam and Eve were. Of course. But this rhetorical question expressed the sadness of God's heart. God was trying to show to the man that he was seeking for him. God knew you. God knew and knows all things. But God wanted me to know that he was in the garden. Look for him. Where are you? Where are you? This is the call of the gospel. God began to manifest his grace in the midst of the man's failure. The grace of God began to be poured out to the mankind, of the human being, at the moment. So, don't say that we find grace only in the New Testament. We find the grace of God in the Old Testament too. The grace of God is in the whole Bible, because He is a grace of God. The chapter 3 brings bad and good news. What God said in chapter 2 happened exactly in chapter 3. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." We find here two different kinds of death. The first one, and the powerful one, is the spiritual death. From that moment, the human being was separated from God. The second kind of death is the physical one. He was not more eternal. This is why God sent them out of the garden. Because in the middle of the garden, they had the tree of the life. And if they ate this tree, the fruit of the tree, they can live forever. So God sent them out, protect them. But we find also the manifestation of God's grace in what is known as a proto-gospel. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put, this is the verse 15, and I will put a limit between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. I have a question for you. Who heard the gospel for the first time? Who heard the proto-gospel for the first time? The serpent. The serpent was the first one to listen. And for her, or for him, was not a good news. Was a bad news. Bad news for her, or for him, and good news for the woman. But what was bad news for the serpent? It was a good news for the man. The bad news for the serpent was, you will die. Your offspring will die. Your offspring will be destroyed. But what was good news for the serpent was, bad news for the serpent was a good news for the woman. It was like God were saying, woman, despite your disobedience, you will still have children. Although your disobedience, I will bless you with children. Although you have heard the serpent, I use your children to destroy the descendants of the serpent. And more, the text promised that the descendants of the woman will destroy not only the seed of the evil, but the evil itself, the serpent. Another important point here, it was God who created the enmity between the woman and serpent, and the serpent. What this means for us? This means that God is in control of everything. This means that God did not abandon us. This means that He is calling us once again to participate in His mission. God also said there would be a specific bloodline to do this. Now we arrive in chapter 4. And there we see that the woman recognized that God's blessing over her life. Verse 1 said, after gave birth to Cain, she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Soon, she gave birth another son, Abel. It was so amazing because the children, verse 3 and verse 5 in Genesis chapter 4, show that they are going to worship the Lord. It's amazing. Both Cain and Abel are going to worship the Lord. Both. But you know the story. After that, Cain invites Abel and ends killing his brother. Now, I'd like you to pay attention. Now we can see two different seeds. The seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam. Two different seeds. It's very clear here. The serpent was cursed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Now Cain is cursed in Genesis chapter 4, 11 to 15. So from that moment, in the biblical narrative, we have two seeds, two lineages worked by together. In Genesis 4:25, God replaced Abel, giving to Eve another son, Seth. Verse 25 said, she gave birth a son and named him Seth. Say, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. When the text describes the narrative, next slide. When the text describes the narrative of Cain, the fifth generation, we find a man called Lamech. Okay? This guy, this man, was awful. I don't know if in the United States you find some region that you can say the people that place is very, like, how you say, can kill for any motive. Yeah. In Brazil, we have a region, my region, Northeast. They said, you know, the people from the Northeast, they always walk with a knife here and can kill for this strong male. You don't understand what I mean. So this guy was so bad, that he said for his wife, Genesis chapter 4:23-24. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, and a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Fifth generation. Can you feel the bloodline? The serpent seed was here. But in chapter 5, the Bible starts to describe the children of Adam. And when it's reached in the sixth generation of Adam, we find another man. We find this guy here, Enoch. You know about them? About him? I want to talk to him. He was amazing. He was so good, so good. He walked with God every day of his life. The relationship that he had with God was so close, that God told him without him dying. He did not test for the death. God told him. Can you now understand the difference between these two seeds? The seed of serpent and the seed of Adam. Do you see the grace of God over this family? Do you realize God's mercy in this new opportunity to this family to fulfill again the God's mission? Can you see God control the whole thing that's happened in history? Even when some things happen here, he's not lost the way. He knows how to do. And he fixed. And he used for his own glory. And we have a different lineage, line, bloodline, that goes to the end, to Jesus Christ. From Genesis chapter 1, we saw how God led his mission through the creation. Everything was made with a goal. Everything. And the goal was glorify his name, his own name. In Genesis 2-5 today, we saw that even with the fall of the man in the garden, God continued to show grace and control of all over history. He's still in control. We are not alone. Everything is happening according to His plan. And even when you look and you see, oh, this situation is so bad, I want to let you know that God is still in control. Nothing happened. And in the end, everything will be okay. Because God is a universal God. He has the power to change all circumstances in our lives. Next week, we will study about the mission of God in the calling of Abraham. How God called him. What God was, what happened in God's heart when He called Abraham. And you go just further and further. Understand the process of the history until the end in Revelation. But today we will celebrate the fulfillment of Genesis 3, chapter 15. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And when He was with His disciples, just a few days before His death on the cross, He had a time with Him, with them. He wanted to teach them and show what would happen. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, we find there, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, take and eat, this is My body. Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, drink for it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out of many for the forgiveness of the sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink anew with you in My Father's. Genesis chapter 1. God created the man. God created everything to worship Him, to walk with Him, to have a great relationship with Him. Chapter 2. The man failed. But God still showed grace. God showed a new way. A new seed. A new life from Adam. And goes Abraham, goes the patriarch, and goes on. And now we jump for the end of story because of sake of today. And we are here and we look back and we look for Jesus. Everything was in God's plan. Everything was in God's plan. So I invite you who believe in Jesus. I invite you who is saved in Jesus Christ to participate in that moment. That moment that we look back and we remember what He did on the cross. This is the moment when you look and you say, thank you, Lord. We know that we not deserve grace, this mercy. And you look for the future and you say, thank you, Lord, because you know that you are powerful to fulfill your mission. And it will be one day when we, and when I say we say people of every nation, of all tribes, of all earth, will be together, worship the Lord. Dear Lord, we dedicate the elements to you. Help us to belong only to international church, because the table belongs to all believers.